Welcome to the Perfectly Preserved podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Gomes.
And I'm Anna Cash.
Here, we come together to bring you a podcast all about preserving food safely, easily, and dare I say perfectly at home.
We are master food preservers, moms, wives, and we love talking about canning. We've decided the world needs a podcast that shares up-to-date, modern, safe information about canning, dehydrating, freezing, freeze-drying, and more.
We answer listener questions, teach beginner and intermediate techniques, and share our very best tips for preserving successfully.
We'll show you how to find trusted recipes, sources, and more so you never have to second-guess your preserving practices again.
Ready to can like a master preserver? Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Perfectly Preserved podcast. I'm your host, Jenny, and I'm here with my co-host, Anna, and we are going to be talking today about canning with less sugar, no sugar, and specifically artificial or unusual sweeteners such as stevia. So we have a really great resource that we're letting guide us from the Penn State Extension. And it's a great article, and it has tons of information on how to reduce the sugar in your jams, jellies, canned fruit, and other items. So I think it's important to just remind our listeners, as much as we, especially people our age, I'm not sure what a younger generation is feeling about sugar, but I know my mom was really super strongly like against all sugar consumption when I was growing up and to this day. And of course, it bears mentioning that sugar is a super preservative, and it helps with the texture and shelf life of your jams and jellies. So before you dive into reducing your sugar, just bear that in mind, that your jams and jellies texture will be different if you use some of these different types of sweeteners or if you use less sugar altogether. And we have some really good tips and tricks for reducing it, but just remember the shelf life might be less and the texture might be different. What can you add to that, Anna?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm with you. Like, I grew up in a household where we had some sugar, but not a ton. Like, my mom would make cookies, but like, we didn't have a ton of like cakes and cookies and things around. Like, mm-hmm. I think it was just, if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, there was like this big push for mm-hmm. like low fat, low sugar.
Totally.
Right. So there were all these fake sugars around. Mm-hmm. That's when aspartame became really popular. Mm-hmm. For like Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi, all these diet products.
Right.
So I think it's a good idea for us to talk about how to do preserving with low sugar or no sugar. I, in my jam making business, have had requests from people who have diabetes or want lower sugar in their jam. And in the beginning, I used quite a bit of either monk fruit or swerve, just sugar alternative. And I have to say that like not all of the outcomes were fantastic.
Right, right.
I'll be honest, like not all of them tasted really great. Just because sometimes those fake sugars have like an aftertaste that is different that you just have to get used to if that's your jam. If you're going to do that.
Right.
But that's the only thing I would add. I mean, like Jenny said, sugar does help with cell structure, color, sheen, preserving. Like after you open your jam, it helps preserve it for a longer amount of time. So there's a lot of cool things that sugar does, but you can definitely reduce the amount of sugar. Mm-hmm. And as we talk about stuff, we can, delve into like Pomona's pectin, which I've been completely obsessed with the last couple weeks using it for mm-hmm. jellies. So let's talk about canning with light syrups. Jenny, do you want to tackle that one?
Yeah. Okay, so it is safe to can fruit in water without any added sugar. So think of like the fruit cups of the 90s and now just chopped up chunks of fruit with like one or two halves of a maraschino cherry. Like you can can that version for yourself. And I actually canned a ton of this when my kids were really small. And it can be a super handy thing for a person to have canned on the shelf in half pints. So handy. So you can can it in water, but you'll find that the fruit is less firm than what you're used to. And you should use the hot pack method if you're doing that. So you will bring the chopped fruit to a boil in the water and then put the fruit and the hot water together into jars. And that is safe to do. I can't think of a time that I did this, however. I think I always canned in either, when the kids were really small, either a very light syrup, and we'll talk about that in a second, or in fruit juice, which we'll also talk about. So yeah, Anna, what can you say to that?
Oh, I was just going to say, I've also done that. I've never done it in just plain water either. I've just always used like either a really light, simple syrup or fruit juice.
Right. What fruit juice do you prefer?
I like either apple juice or grape juice. Sometimes pineapple juice is really good.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I think I've always done apple or pineapple. In fact, I'm sure. I think that's the only juices I've ever done it in.
Yeah. I had an abundance of grape juice one year, and I did that with, what did I put it in? I can't remember.
That's awesome. So to can your fruit in fruit juice, you can use frozen or bottled, like a plastic jug of juice. If you aren't going to make a simple syrup to can your fruit chunks in or your fruit in. So you could do frozen apple juice concentrate, which is delicious with pears, peaches, apricots, plums, and red or white sweet cherries. And you can dilute it with water to reduce the apple-y flavor and the calories. Pineapple juice works well with pears or peaches. Mm-hmm. And frozen pineapple juice gives a fresher flavor than canned pineapple juice, which is good to remember. I also feel like frozen juices is kind of a thing from our childhood and not as common in grocery stores as now, just as a side note. You can can with white grape juice, and that can work well with pears, peaches, or apricots. And then red grape juice complements plums and red cherries. I feel like red grape juice and cherries would be delish. And then just as a side note, which is so helpful from the extension, if you do have diabetes or you're canning for someone with diabetes, they still will need to consider the fruit juice when they're calculating sugar or carbohydrates because it does have some sugar in it.
Yeah.
Tell us about your simple, how about canning with simple syrup, Anna?
Yeah. So in any of your like three canning books that we recommend, right? Mm-hmm. So Easy to Preserve, Guide to Home Canning, and then the Blue Ball book, Guide to Preserving, and the USDA book, they all have recommendations for either light, medium, or heavy syrup. And usually a light syrup is maybe like 1 cup of sugar to maybe 3 or 4 cups of water.
Yep.
And then medium is about, I don't know, half. And then heavy is 1 to 1,
right.
I believe. So I am usually like a light to medium person. Just because I've noticed that when I can peaches and I do like a ultralight or juice with my peaches, they become like feathery and almost dissolve faster.
Yes.
Like they don't hold their shape as well. So for me, like when I do peaches, I do a medium. When I do pears, they tend to hold their shape. So I'll do like a light syrup. Have you found that too, Jenny? Or
yes.
What have you done with syrups?
Yes. So I do a medium to a light if I'm going to do a like a fruit cup, a mimic of a fruit cup. And that all that to say, if the fruit is feathery and hard for your kid to get on a fork or doesn't look like other kids' fruit cups, or I feel like all of this you have to consider, like if you're going to put a ton of time into doing this, you want everyone to eat it. And unfortunately for the folks that are making food at home like this, right, you are kind of swimming against the processed food current, you know, the Paw Patrol and the, you know, frozen themed fruit cups that your kid can see as you roll past them in the grocery store aisles. You can't give up all the sugar, I don't think, and have a product. Well, you can't. You can't give up all the sugar and have a product that closely matches or is passable for the fruit cups that are just loaded with sugar. So the feathery kind of, I feel like I also thought that they all just got softer, the lighter syrup I did. So I just would go on the medium, start with a medium syrup or like in between a medium and a light. I feel like I did the in between a medium and a light, simple syrup, and was happy with the result. But just know that's what you're swimming against. You're swimming against, you know, the fruit cups that maybe they had at a birthday party or at a friend's house or whatever. You kind of want them to be sort of close so that kids love them and eat them. Because whatever you're canning, yeah, even if it is a heavy syrup, is going to be way better than what you're getting at the store. So all that to say, right, I usually do in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I usually do either a light or a medium, and mm-hmm, nobody's really complained of it yet.
I'm sure they wouldn't.
Also, as a side note, like if your fruit gets feathery or like, you know, starting to break up, it's like perfect for a smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys do that, Jenny, but
yes,
like, if my peaches get too feathery, I'm like, just toss them in with a, you know, some frozen orange juice, milk, and, you know, Greek yogurt or something, and ice, and you have a orange Julius.
Yes. No, I think there was one batch. I remember it was one of my first batches. I ended up opening up 4 or 5 jars. Like, okay, these are all just too soft. It was like too soft to get on the fork. It was too soft to be enjoyable. So yeah, I wouldn't give up all the sugar altogether. So then instead of canning with fruit juice, we get asked a lot about canning with honey. Honey is a super concentrated sweetener that has more calories per tablespoon than sugar. It tastes sweeter than an equal amount of sugar. So you wouldn't go 1-to-1. You wouldn't take, if the recipe called for a cup of sugar, you wouldn't do a cup of honey because it will be too sweet. And a mild flavor of honey is best when you're canning with it, because the strong honey taste sometimes doesn't pair well with the fruit you're canning it with and can really overpower the fruit. I feel like I did honey with pear one time and you couldn't taste any pear at all. It was just all honey. It was, I mean, I think Scarlett ate it, but I mean, it wasn't, you couldn't even taste the pear anymore. It was disappointing. Yeah. And honey, frankly, is kind of expensive.
Right.
So it's not, I wouldn't say that that's a great swap.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's good to bear in mind if you're using like a raw honey or, I mean, with any raw product, if you're canning it, any of that microflora that you're hoping to consume, that's all lost because of the canning process. So just keep that in mind too. Just save that for your other ways you want to eat that honey.
Yeah.
And now a quick word about our courses.
Want to learn more about canning? Check out our video courses. Anna's beginner and advanced canning courses are available at smarthomecanning.com. And Jenny teaches super fast steam canning at startcanning.com. Use the code POD25, that's POD25, to get 25% off those courses today.
Okay, let's dive into the artificials, Anna.
Okay. Yeah, so the only artificials or non-sugar alternatives that I've had and used are monk fruit, which comes, I want to say, from Nepal.
Mm.
I think I've used that. I've used Swerve.
Mm-hmm.
I've used Stevia, which comes from a plant, and that's pretty great. But all in all, I mean, it's just so different from a regular sugar. I mean, you really don't want to use a 1-to-1 ratio. I mean, personally, I would rather use either a little bit of honey or fruit juice over aspartame or any of the other ones. Sucralose or Splenda. Splenda, mm-hmm, has been like super popular. But yeah, Splenda, they say Splenda does not provide the same preservative properties as sugar. It is not suitable for use in preserves or pickled fruit. So.
Mm-hmm. So just to be super clear for our listeners, canning with these fake or artificial sweeteners is not unsafe, but sometimes the result isn't what you're necessarily looking for. The only one that I've done was Stevia, and I did liquid, and I was very happy with, well, I was very happy with how it sweetened liquids, and you only have to do a very, very few drops. I mean, a couple drops, because it is so, so powerful. And it kept, I feel like the taste was pretty darn good. I actually did it with pomegranate juice. And gosh, what other, I think I tried cranberry. And that, like, I think you could kind of tell, like, oh, this is not a real sugar taste. But it was still pretty good. I thought it was good. I liked it. Yeah, what else can we say about the non-nutritive sweeteners, as they say.
Yeah, they talk about canning with sucralose, which is, you know, the Splenda brand is a sucralose. And they don't provide the same properties of sugar necessary mm-hmm. to gel. Traditional long-cooked jams and jellies. Package inserts with commercial pectins tell you when you should add that type of sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, for my money, stevia is probably the way to go, or monk fruit if you're going to use an alternative. Stevia is heat stable, like you said. And I've used stevia. My friend actually put it in some tea the other day. I was having like Bengal spice, oat milk, and then she did a couple drops of stevia, and it was like the perfect amount of sweetener. I had no idea.
Right. Yeah, that's my go-to. I think it has the most passable taste. And like, I think one time I also used it with sugar. So my local, this is kind of a local fruit, but or less common, something you can't buy in the grocery store is choke cherries. And they're little itty bitty, like the size of a pea cherries that have just a unique flavor. And you steam them to release the juice. And it is so tart, it'll give you cotton mouth immediately. It's that tart. But
oh no.
With like probably four, I think you do like 4 cups of juice with 6 cups of sugar. Like it's a lot of sugar. And I think what I did for the syrup, like pancake syrup, is I backed off. I'm almost positive I did 4 cups of sugar instead of 6, and then did many drops of stevia. And it was like, this is pretty close. Like it was a pretty good reduction, but still you had to do to make that syrupy texture and to really cut that super tart cotton mouth. If you've ever had choke cherry, you know exactly what I mean, because it is an immediate, it's a wild, it's wild how fast it happens. But so anyway, I just wanted to mention that you can pair stevia if you're just cutting some sugar out and just like, oh, I just need a little bit sweeter hit. You could try a drop of stevia and add that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Where did you get your stevia, Jenny? Do they have it at like regular grocery stores, or do you have to find an online source or a natural grocer or something like that?
I got mine on Amazon. I think I've seen it at Raley's, which is a California grocery store, but I did get it on Amazon, and it was not cheap for a small bottle. But just know, if you're going to try it, you really truly only use a drop or two or three per batch.
And you can grow stevia. Like, I have friends that grow stevia in their garden.
Interesting.
Here in Utah. And then if you have, like, I mean, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, I'm sure you could distill it down into the oil.
Right, right.
Maybe. I don't know. You would need to.
We would need a stevia expert.
Do some more research about that.
But that is a plant, right? Like, that is a green leafy thing that you could grow if you wanted.
Uh-huh.
So our article tells us that stevia gives sweetness, but not the firm texture. So we've said that before. And then it also can be used in jams and jellies when you are using a no sugar pectin. So if you want to learn more about pectin, we have a great episode about pectin you can check out. But some pectins you can use for no or low sugar jams and jelly recipes, and you would just use the recipe inside that box. But you wouldn't use stevia with a full sugar pectin. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You wouldn't need to, right?
Well, right. And it just, I think this is saying it wouldn't work. So you wouldn't just grab a regular box of pectin off the grocery store shelf and read the recipe where it calls for several cups of sugar and just say, I'm just going to skip the sugar and use the stevia, because the pectin in that box is it needs that sugar to do its pectin stiffening, making your jelly stiff job.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It wouldn't work, is what this is saying. And I'm sure that's true. I've never tried that, but I'm sure it wouldn't work. Gosh, what else did we want to share about reducing sugar?
Well, for me, like I said earlier in the episode, I have been loving Pomona's pectin.
Yes.
You can tinker with the amounts of sugar that you add into your jam or jelly, and it's a two-part system. There's calcium that you mix with water, and you shake that up and you add that to your jam or jelly
mm-hmm.
juice or fruit, whatever. And then you mix the pectin in with whatever amount of sugar you're using. You just want to make sure that that pectin is really like incorporated in your sugar. And then once your liquid starts boiling, then you add the pectin with the sugar. And I've, for 4 cups of my forsythia juice, I only use 1.5 cups of sugar. Maybe 2. I can't remember. Anyway, it's just like a significantly less amount of sugar and it sets perfectly. So I would highly recommend. I know Pomona's pectin is a little bit more expensive than like the Sure Gel, but you will get probably 3 to 4 batches of jam or jelly out of one package of Pomona's pectin.
That's great.
I even loved it so much that I purchased 1 pound bag of Pomona's pectin and it came with the calcium as well. So I know I'm insane, but no. I figure I can use this throughout the year and it's cheaper.
Yeah. Tell me you're a canner without telling me you're a canner. You bought 1 pound of Pomona's pectin.
I know.
That's hilarious.
And I purchased it directly from Pomona's and I want to say it was maybe $50.
Oh, for great.
1 pound. Which, you know, I need to do the math on it, but it was significantly cheaper than purchasing the $7 package
that
you can only do 3 to 4 batches of, you know.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, tell me you're a canner without telling me.
Yeah, we are big fans. We are big fans of Pomona's pectin, and we have a whole episode about Pomona's pectin. And just in the one sentence summary, it uses slightly different ingredients to help set your gel and give it that stiffness that you want, that spreadability. And it's just a little bit different than the other probably more common types of pectin like Sure Gel and Certo, I think is the other brand that I've seen. And it just works in a slightly different way. So it's pretty great and it makes it easy to use less sugar and still achieve a really good result.
Yeah, I love it. I can't say enough good things about it. And Jenny was even talking about the Pomona's cookbook, which I kind of want to check out too.
Right, right. I was on a podcast and the host of the podcast said that she loved the Pomona's jam cookbook more than any other jam and jelly recipe cookbook. And I thought that was a heck of a recommendation. I don't even own it, but I thought, well, maybe I need to probably look at it because that sounds like a very good book. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we'll have to get it and then, you know, do an update.
We will have to do an update. Well, thank you, Anna. Unless we have anything else to add about canning with less sugar and canning with stevia and canning with Pomona's pectin, I think that was an awesome episode.
No, it's great. That's our show. We don't want you to miss an episode, so please be sure to subscribe. If you found this episode helpful and informative, please give our show a rating and review. It only takes a few seconds and it really helps our show grow.
Follow us on social media at Smart Home Canning and at The Domestic Wildflower.
Email your preserving questions to perfectlypreservedpodcast@gmail.com and we will do our best to answer your questions on the show.
Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode released every week.